Brandon Nunes joins us.
What's up? What's up?
Mm-hmm. Brandon, you got up early today. You got your, what's your coffee drink? What is that?
This is a flat white.
Oh. That's not what I was. What? Excuse me?
A flat white? Apparently. Yeah. I like to think of myself as more of a curved white, but this is a flat white, you know? Goodness.
So here we go. So here's my thing. And I probably, look, if you were just now tuning in because we're shouting it out on Twitter, we got some deep info here, but I'm just like, I'm trying to figure this thing out. Do you like ranch?
This feels so.
Wait, how do you ever coffee to ranch? What?
Because you got the mayo. Because you got the mayo on the hot dog. You're drinking a flat white, which I've never heard of. Yeah, are there egg whites in there?
I got put onto this by somebody else.
I'm just saying. Like a, all right, like, I don't food shame.
That's something to deal with the foam, right?
Sure. Honestly, I have no clue. I got put onto this drink like a week ago.
Okay. All right. Shout out flat white. I don't know. All right, let's hear from Sam Amick as we get back into the Kings talk. And, you know, a lot of this stuff is starting to get revealed as we go, and that's why we're here. We know that there are certain things, and obviously, you know, you are listening to the flagship, and there are certain things that we honestly, it's not even that we're not at liberty to say. It's that, have you ever played the game Telephone? I don't know, you guys are a bit younger than me.
Telephone. Yeah, absolutely.
Right? The ending message is always completely different.
Way different.
And we don't want to be associated with Telephone. So if it's not something that Brendan, Chris, or myself have heard
or experienced
from being in there and understanding what's going on, we're not going to give you bad information because that's not good for you. And it definitely is not good for us. Let's hear from Sam Amick and what he had to say on the Athletic Pod.
And you see stuff, it's been a weird to like, and you never know. I don't want to connect dots that don't exist, but like the tension and the energy is strange right now. You might have seen in the news this morning, and it was honestly a little slow to come to light. Like De'Aaron Fox has not spoken to the media he went 16 days without talking to the media.
What?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. And it was one of, that's the part that, I mean, I do have a decent amount of clarity on it. I'm probably not going to share everything publicly, but it's like it's a weird one where he got criticized after they lost to New Orleans. And at one point they were down 50 in a home game a couple weeks back.
Yes. Remember that. Yep.
And it got highlighted, and Mike Brown was asked essentially why in these one-sided blowout losses, is your leadership council, which he's talked before about who that is. It's, I think, Fox and Sabonis. I forget who all is in it, but it's a small group of guys. So the question was basically, you know, why don't these guys talk after blowout losses? They had Keon Ellis up at the podium. You know, to me, it's a fair question, but I think in the wake of that, you know, De'Aaron was upset with the way that you know, he took some criticism there. It was reported in the Sacramento Bee today that night that he had actually not been asked to talk. He had had a bad game and they were trying to give him a night off, I believe. And it's a bad set of circumstances to where he just went dark. And so that's its own thing. But then you have, you know, in a little speculation here, but like Harrison Barnes is not talking much. And it feels very much like, you know, he's a grown man who's aware that he's on the block and doesn't feel like
he's been through this before. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know how this ends. Right.
Right. Yep. So it's like, there's a lot of that. It's the anti DeJounte Murray vibe, if you will. You know, these guys are not taking it as well, I don't think. And everybody's playing the waiting game. So I don't know what they'll do, you know, lately. And some of this is out there. This is in your neck of the woods, DA, you know, some Kyle Kuzma chatter. That I think could be real. I think a Jeremy Grant kind of aspiration that Portland probably is not going to cooperate with. You know, but they're aggressive and I think they know they got to do something.
Whew. Sam Amick, right? The Harrison Barnes thing. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you guys. You know, I've obviously been doing it this season. I don't know that I have been in a post game with Harrison Barnes. Now, I haven't been at every game.
Yeah.
But I can't recall one.
Well, it's funny. My first season was like the year that Buddy Hield was on his way out. Yeah. And I think I talked to him like twice.
Right.
Like the whole year.
Right.
You know?
So some of this is, I think that's why Harrison Barnes is getting a pass here and why we're focusing more on De'Aaron Fox, but your initial thoughts to kind of what Sam broke down. And a lot of people are asking for more clarity. Some fans don't care. Some fans want to know. Some fans just want to know that, like we keep saying, it's not an actual beef with stuff on the court. It ain't a buck situation or anything like that, as far as we know. This is more of the things that you don't really like doing at work,
right?
And just a matter of who, you know, the blame, I guess, for lack of a better term, the blame game, and whose responsibility is it in these situations where nobody wants to do anything. My initial thought when I'm De'Aaron is, after a 50-point loss, right, the second time around, I understand where he's coming from. But are you telling me, as he's leaving the building, he wasn't just a little bit relieved that he wasn't asked to speak, right? Are you telling me now, if he didn't know that there was, because after the first time with Keon, a lot of people in the media brought it up,
yeah,
right? And so maybe he wasn't aware of that or whatever, but after the second time, you sure you just weren't a little relieved, right? I mean, give us something here. Give us something.
No, yeah, I think it's definitely, again, where De'Aaron kind of doesn't have a lot of legs to stand on, because mm-hmm. I do think at some point you got to know, like, this is a little strange that I haven't even been asked, and mm-hmm. I understand why he might feel like, hey, it's not my obligation to stand up and Spartacus this thing and say,
right,
I will speak for this team on tonight's
loss. Hold on, because now it's like a movie, yeah, right? So they're in the locker room, heads down. Hey, Keon, do you want to come speak?
Yeah.
Keon starts to stand up. De'Aaron comes next to him. Hold his shoulder. Yes, yeah.
Sit down, hey, young pup.
Keon, you go home, man. I got this. Yeah. And the music comes in.
And then HB puts a shoulder on Fox and says, no, Fox, I got this. Then Sabonis puts his shoulder on it. Exactly. Just a long train of that.
Go ahead,
that's
Brendan.
What should have happened.
Your thoughts.
Yeah, please.
Yeah. It sounds like a great movie. It sounds like Game of Zones?
Yes, very much, man.
One of those episodes. I'll say I don't know, but everyone's post-game locker room team is going to be different, and we don't know how many guys were aware that Keon was getting asked to go up, and so I get that initial frustration, and I don't think it's necessarily on him to be like, okay, I'm going to go talk today. You know, like, he probably doesn't want to do it. You know, he probably does not want to. Mm-hmm. And I don't think, I think that that's reasonable, but there is a, if you're asked, that there is kind of a contractual obligation. So I get frustrated with not being asked and then getting a bunch of crap for that. And, you know, it extending on as long as it has, obviously, is its own different story. But you know, if he doesn't get asked and he's not really aware, his job is to go perform on the court and yes, to talk to media when he's asked. But if he's not asked, then, you know, I don't think it's on him to go out of his way to do it. Now I'll say, like, DeMontis Sabonis does talk pretty much every single game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't talk at the podium, we're getting him
one
in his locker.
He's a real one.
And you know, maybe his post game routine is just a little different. Like, he's got a long trek to get back home,
sure,
and I don't know what De'Aaron's trek is like, but I'd imagine it's not the same extent as Sabonis's. And you know, each person's post game stuff is going to be a little different. Domas is doing a bunch of stuff, and then he'll talk to us at the very end of it. And mm-hmm. De'Aaron seems to get out of there pretty quickly, from what we can tell. So, you know, that plays a factor, I guess, a little bit in some of this postgame stuff. And I do think he could take it on him to talk a little bit more. But I also understand a sense of frustration of, it's not my responsibility to figure out when I should and should not be talking.
Yeah. Right.
And so if I don't get asked,
somebody else's
then, like,
right,
if you're somebody that's like, I'd rather not, and I don't get asked, then I probably would be happy about that.
No, I don't doubt it. And there is a part of this that maybe De'Aaron didn't know it was Keon. Maybe he thought it was, we don't know.
He probably didn't know.
Right. We're not in the locker rooms. I know you're in the locker rooms after that happens, right? But we don't know if it's, okay, well, I know I'm one of the leaders, but if it's Domas and HB, they got it. Domas and Herter, they got it, right? Whatever the case is. Maybe he didn't know it was Keon, but it's still tough for me, because once you get, and I don't know how active he is on social media or whatever it is, you maybe not the first time, but the second time, which is when this whole thing started. Like I said, we love blame pie on this show. I think everybody gets a little bit of blame here. And ultimately, guys, this is what it comes down to. This is what happens when you trick off games. And this never happens if you're not down 50.
Yeah.
Right.
It doesn't happen, because De'Aaron doesn't really mind talking. Not that he likes it after they win either, but he doesn't really, is it a surprise that this boycott correlated with them playing like Basuda? Is it a surprise? No.
Can I also,
I don't think so.
I want to add something else though to this whole media conversation that no one has brought up. I'm even surprised from the media side. Another issue with the fact that we got Keon Ellis on that night was we only got Keon Ellis on that night. Typically, it is, I think it's, correct me if I'm wrong,
players and coach.
It is NBA protocol to get two players and a coach. So not only was the one player we got sent not somebody who was satisfactory or somebody who, frankly, impacted the game on that night or we would, you know, want quotes from, no disrespect, Keon Ellis, but he was the only person. So not only were they in violation of just sending out two guys, you then violated a personal code or an unspoken code of at least if you're only going to give us one guy, give us a Sabonis, give us a Fox, give us somebody that we can at least say, ah, they only sent us one person, but, you know, it's fine. We can write tonight's story with Sabonis's quotes. We couldn't do anything with just getting Keon Ellis's quote. And then, yeah, I mean, Mike Brown pretty much said, you're going to have to ask somebody else. This ain't on me. Brendan, what I want to ask you, and maybe this is a lob of a question, but I think it's the other side of where I think a lot of fans are coming from. Brendan, why do we need to care about this? Why should I care that De'Aaron Fox isn't talking to media? Why do I care that after a 30-point loss, Keon Ellis is the one stepping up? I'm a fan. I care about the games. I don't even turn on NBC Sports. I don't look at the Kings YouTube to see their post-game press conferences. I don't care. I only care about the games. Why should I care about this?
Yeah, and I'd say that I think that fans were worried amid a four-game losing streak and that one of the most calming voices you could hear from, even if he's frustrated, would be De'Aaron Fox. Like, that's one of the guys that you want to hear from. And you're probably even growing more concerned as a fan when you're not hearing from him, is what I'd imagine. If somebody does not care about hearing from De'Aaron, then, you know, that's its own thing. But in my mind, it's a, like, it's become a thing because he is the face of the franchise. And I would imagine, and definitely people correct me out there if I'm wrong, that most of the fan base wants to hear from him, especially when he's in a little bit of a rut and when the team is struggling a little bit. And again, it's a four-game losing streak. It's not that bad, right? But there was some cause for concern with the way that those games were
blown at the end
of games. Yeah, for sure. The couple of definitely blown leads against higher caliber teams on your East Coast road trip. For sure, I get it. So I think it honestly has been a tricky situation for me and kind of the first time I've dealt with something like this since being in media. And initially, I kind of had the same thing of like, well, if a guy just doesn't want to talk for a little while, like, to each his own. But it is a contractual obligation, and I think the reason that it is because the fan base wants to hear from you.
Yes, that's the big thing to me.
Right. And honestly, I think fan bases are really stuck, right? Or they're conflicted. Because on one end, we know that De'Aaron has a baby and we know that he is a real person and he shouldn't be forced to do these things, right? And that's where a lot of fan bases will kind of bang on the media. But at the same time, maybe it's just the line. Maybe to whatever fan, it's a different line to where it's, oh, well, four losses, that's whatever. Like, you don't need to be on him for this, because I'm seeing right here from David Myers, why do we keep talking about media obligations? I'm more concerned with his play on court. Injury? David, there's no injury. They're not reporting an injury. So the only thing we can also think of is this correlation.
Well, and I'd say we'd have clarity. Like, if he was able to come out and say there's no injury, that would help a lot too.
We don't know. We had Mike Brown in the postgame presser say he talked about ups and downs. Okay. And he said De'Aaron is still young. We have said it on this show time and time again. I'm in the post game. Brendan's in the post game. We're posting articles. Chris does the post game. We're in the pregame. They're not saying anything as far as De'Aaron even being slightly banged up.
As a matter of fact, Sabonis yesterday, they asked him, or the other day, asked him, like, hey, De'Aaron's slumping a little bit. And he looked around and said, I don't think he's slumping at all.
Yeah.
And, like, that would have been a perfect opportunity to, I mean, what almost sparked all of this was Malik saying, oh, bumps and bruises. Remember?
Yeah.
De'Aaron Fox, bumps and bruises. Yeah. We got to pick him up. None of that. Like,
none of that.
So it doesn't seem like it's an injury at all. I will also give, to kind of wrap a bow on it all and answer my own question in a bit, it's also important because it's a bit of, hey, it starts with we don't get De'Aaron at the podium, but it's also we don't get anybody on our show, and Sam Amick won't get anyone to do a feature piece on. Like, it's a slippery slope of, okay, yeah, you don't get him here, but it's also just the lack of access that fans are going to get is going to be less and less and less the more and more that we try and normalize this. I mean, if you enjoy reading long features on Keegan Murray, Anthony Slater just had one in The Athletic. All that stuff happens because we are given the availability to speak to these guys. And if they're going to continue to hide or to not be asked to do media, fans aren't going to get the coverage that they want.
We just can't, like, the thing for me, when, and we got to get to it, Simone's giving me the Damian Lillard and or the Tyrese Halliburton. The bottom line is, if you want to be one of those franchise guys, and I hate to do it because he's Chris's favorite player, obviously I'm joking around, but Steph Curry stands on business. Compare the two seasons. Right. You have one rough spurt and you go dark, and Steph Curry is out there as
having
the team is a complete mess.
Yeah.
And he's out there in blowouts. He's out there. Klay Thompson is out there darn near in tears. And you can't handle softball questions like it's the NCAA World Series? Give me a break. We got to get to a break. When we get back, finishing the conversation, one more segment, and we'll get into some trade discussions. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Jess Escoto on the Sack Chat. Stop it, Styles. You're going to have to be more specific.
I was going to say.
Because we ain't stopping. We go until 2 p.m. Brendan Nunes, though, has one more segment with us. Been great, Brendan. Thank you for all of your insights. Are we good on it? Are we good on it? Okay.
Can I add one thing?
Yes.
Oh, sorry, I know.
Let's keep it going.
I'm trying to move on from this topic, too. But I'll say that when it comes to him speaking with the media, is that, yes, they get paid a lot to be really freaking good at basketball.
Yes.
Yeah.
But a big reason that they are, that the NBA has the finances that they do, is because of these big fan bases. And so I think that's where sort of the obligation, quote unquote, comes in, is that technically these are kind of the reason that you're able to make the money that you are.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's not that you owe them an explanation. I mean, to an extent, it kind of is, actually. That's just kind of the one thing I wanted to add, is that part of this is because the fans are really the ones who make this happen. The NBA does not exist without its fan base.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's more so who he needs to speak to. And I think that's where media is coming from a lot as well, is that it comes off as like we feel obligated that he has to speak with us. And really, we're the middlemen.
Really
all it comes down to. So yeah. We can definitely move on, but just wanted to get that one out there.
Well, yeah.
And again, Chris. I mean, yeah, to wrap a bow on it, I mean, it's the point of, like you guys said, I mean, people are wondering, is De'Aaron Fox hurt? Well, we haven't even spoken to De'Aaron Fox, so we can't, as Brendan's point, as the middleman, we can't tell you because we don't know.
Right.
And that's why it's so important.
I don't care about media availability. Is he hurt? Okay, well, his coach said he wasn't, but he hasn't said anything.
Yeah. Right.
That's the end of the story. That's all. That's all we know.
Yeah.
That's all we know. I mean, I don't know if it's hurt. Like you said, Brendan, these people are humans. A lot can go on. You know, I always think about, to be completely honest, I always think about these different jobs where, and our job is kind of like that, but you can figure it out. But these different jobs to where you might be having a bad day, but it doesn't matter, right? The person that I always think when I was on my honeymoon, that person that like leads all the games, right? And they're like getting people pumped up.
Yeah.
It's like, what if that person's just having a terrible day?
Right.
They figure it out.
I mean, I'm sure they are.
And that person is not getting paid NBA money.
Sure isn't.
Okay. So to me, like, that's just why I don't have a lot of, I don't have a lot of leeway for this type of thing. It's very simple. Most of the time you give athletes speak anyway.
Yeah,
right. And to be completely honest, it's now become a bigger deal because of the quote-unquote boycott. If you had just said, man, I didn't even know people were upset about the Keon thing. All right, let's just keep it pushing, right? Wherever De'Aaron was trying to steer this, wherever De'Aaron was trying to make it known he wasn't happy, all he did was make this a bigger deal. He could have just showed up next game and just said, all right, whatever, hopefully we stop getting blown out by 50. And if we do, I know that that's what they want. I'm just going to go cry on my millions. That's just how I feel. And maybe it's too old school, but that's how I feel. Like I said, I'm talking about people in so many different jobs, and I hate to be that guy, but come on now. Come on.
Yeah. No.
What are we talking about?
Yeah. And to your point, Steph talks every game. And I think there's other guys around the league that are more closer to De'Aaron's side than Steph's side, for sure, that maybe are difficult to access. And I don't think, like, De'Aaron's alone in this necessarily. No. Obviously, to this extent, would be different. But I guess the one thing I'll add is, you know, Steph's getting asked to.
Sure. Right.
There you go.
Raymond Ritter. Right. Best guy. And I think it's tough, too, because, I mean, you know, whatever. Let's just move on.
Yeah.
Let's move on. Let's move on. We've talked about this enough, and I get it.
I think that, you know, to work this as a transition is that I don't think that this sort of stuff is affecting on-court play, and not necessarily at all. There could be some nights, like when you're doing post-game right, or you're doing pregame and you're addressing this before the game, it wouldn't surprise me if that's in your head a little bit. Like, just going through warm-ups and stuff, I'd imagine that was before his warm-ups that took place. But I'd imagine once you get out there that, like, this is all fine. And I don't think that this is, like, a reason to be worried about the Sacramento Kings.
No,
you know what I mean?
I think there could be multiple things. There's the media part of it. There is something that we don't know that we're not going to speculate on, possibly.
Right.
I don't know. And then there's just his play on court.
Right.
You put all that into a pot and you have what's going on right now. And really, De'Aaron, you know, Chris was looking at the numbers, and I know some of it may have happened. We're going to call it get your work in time instead of garbage time.
Okay.
Some of De'Aaron,
I like that.
He's maybe saved some of his numbers during get your work in time, right, Chris? But they're not as bad as, I guess, what we think. He just started out on such an elite level, and that's what Coach Mike Brown said during the postgame. He came out on a heater. So any type of drop-off, right, is going to look tougher than it really is. And we know the clutch time stats have been bad, but besides that, he's been rolling. Real quick before we get into some trade stuff, and at this point we're just flying along here.
Ooh.
But All-Star, are you worried about De'Aaron Fox making the All-Star team?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think his odds are very good. I think that there's
just escalated so quickly.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely did. I mean, there's also a lot of, I don't know about not very good. It's probably like a coin flip nearly, you know, like I don't have it all in front of me at the top of my mind, but like the other day I kind of went through and tried to lay out the guards and then lay out the forwards, and it's just less congested really when it comes to the forwards. And that's not to take anything away from De'Aaron. I think that he's been great. And I think Mike Brown's comments on like kind of why he's been struggling make a lot of sense to me as a potential reason. Like, this is part of the growing process. Is this guy's 26. Last year it was, oh, he's great in the clutch, but maybe these other first two, three quarters, he's not really doing it. Beginning of this year, we see him do it for pretty much the whole games. And now the next step in his development, again, a 26-year-old guy in his seventh year, is learning to do that consistently for 60 games. And then eventually you get to 70, or kind of that slow progression. So I think this is kind of part of the process of a guy learning and growing into a potential superstar. But for the All-Star question, I think his odds are pretty tough because the West is just super stacked. I think that there's definitely a chance that he still makes it, but I would say Domas is pretty close to, not a lock, but I feel pretty confident about Domas making it, and I have questions about De'Aaron.
What a switch.
Yeah.
Because we were complaining about the other way around, but, you know, De'Aaron gets on a heater here, and you never know. All right, we're already up against it, Brandon. This has been great stuff. So we only have one trade question for you. Atlanta Hawks asking price for DeJounte Murray. First round pick, two first rounds pick, and a starting level player. So basically Harrison Barnes and two first round picks. You in or out?
Yeah, or if it's Kevin Huerter, like I think I'm in. I think DeJounte Murray is really, really good, man.
Gotta do it.
We just saw him cook in Golden 1 Center. I think the defense is there, even if it's fallen off a little bit this year. He could shoot fairly well.
Why is he going to play defense in Atlanta? Why am I going to waste my time doing that? Get him to Sacramento now. Brandon Nunes, Sactown Sports Kings Insider. Great stuff. If you missed the beginning of this segment, he was here for an hour, and you want to catch it, you can rewind on YouTube. We'll cut it up. We'll also have a separate segment on YouTube, and go to sactownsports.com to catch the segment if you want to hear about De'Aaron Fox and the media beef. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports. Thanks again to Brandon Nunes, one of the hardest working members
of
Sactown Sports. Shout out to the flat white drink that Brandon came in drinking. He didn't even tell us what it tastes like.
No, he didn't.
He just said, I'm on it.
Yeah.
It's my new thing.
It's my new thing. It's the wave.
It's just the wave. Dude. It's just the wave. All right, I'll stick to my caramel macchiatos. For sure. Right. Yeah. I've been cutting back on coffee.
Cold I'm actually water. Just getting into it.
So. I've noticed that.
Yeah. I've noticed that. It's a really wasteful habit.
Yeah, I tried to get out in the new year. I wasn't really in it. And then had the baby, and I was in it. I was in
deep. Yeah, you would need it at that point.
I was in deep, and I'm trying to get back out of it because I've never needed it. I mean, you know me. I've never really.
Yeah. No, you don't. Yeah.
Doesn't seem like I would need
it. This thing comes free.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Free of charge. No. Shout out Phil's. So you have now here on the 916 from Chris the Mom. I don't think it's fair to compare Fox's media situation to Curry's because Curry is usually supported positively by media and NBA compared to the lack of love and exposure all around. Yet they want him to be exposed when it's negative. That's from Chris the Mom. Chris, that's not really a bad point.
No, it's not.
The only thing I would say is that you're talking about national and this is local. Mm-hmm. And all that the local media has tried to do is push De'Aaron Fox to another level and to write the best pieces and to speak the best about him to get him more pub in the national media. If this was about the national media, I would agree with you.
Yeah.
But the only people writing for De'Aaron and the King, that's why it's Sacramento versus everybody.
Right.
It's Sacramento media trying to ride for De'Aaron and for their guy, because there have been so many years when you didn't have a guy.
Yeah.
But you can't ride for your guy if you don't know what's going on.
Yeah, no, and I think that there is a layer of this, too, that I'm not sure even the people within the organization fully understand because, I mean, frankly, we're so removed from the relocation saga. I think that there's, I mean, maybe this is personal, too, but I just think that there should be a little bit of, this situation's not the same either. Like with how connected this team is with this community, it feels like I wouldn't say there's an obligation from organization to city, but this team just means so much to the community that it's you know, maybe in other situations, like I don't know when the last time Trae Young talked to the Atlanta media or not, but again, it just kind of feels like there's a different level of connection and relationship with the town and the city. And when the Kings thrive, I think the city of Sacramento thrives. You've seen that with Doco and with K Street in general and just how much bigger Sacramento's gotten in the past couple years, man. It's popping these days. And I think that also should lead to the Kings feeling like, hey, this community is the entire reason this team and this organization is here. Let's give the fans as much as they want. Of course, you know, you're going to have to limit something. You can't literally have, hey, this Friday, Malik Monk's going to be at Bel Air Markets all across Sacramento. I understand that can't happen like it did in the old days all the time, but it just feels like there has been a little bit more disconnection between the organization and the city or the community, and I think a large part of that is because and I think it's the nature of the NBA with how popular. I mean, the NBA is a lot more popular 10 years ago. I mean, just look at the valuation of what Vivek bought the team at versus what it's worth now. Clearly, these guys literally are worth more. Their time is worth more. But, I mean, it just feels like it's been lost of, hey, like this team is supposed to be a part of the community. And I'm not saying they don't. The Kings do great community work, but it doesn't feel like the access has been the same as what it's been.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, look, it takes time, right, when a team isn't good and then it gets good. It's all growing pains, right? And hopefully they can get back on the right track. All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Let's get out to Bobby if you want to be a part of the conversation, 916-339-1140. Let's get out to Bobby who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Bobby? You're on Stiles and Watkins. What you got?
Hey, guys, thank you. First off, I just love how you guys are always about the team and just sports first. That's awesome. It's good content. You guys keep that very consistent. So we appreciate you for that.
Thank you.
We appreciate you, Bobby. Thank you.
No, thank you. And just to this, guys, because we got to be honest, like leadership kind of rubs off and or affects the demeanor and the way your team is. And I'd hate to say, guys, like we kind of – And one way or another are kind of following suit with how he's behaving. And that's my question to De'Aaron. That's the one kind of arsenal of his game where he's missing. It's like, hey, now it's time to grow up, be an adult. Because he's a bad man. I love De'Aaron. But now it's like, hey, lead by example. because you guys show a lot of all the weaknesses you show kind of start to they kind of look like they maybe look like their leader. So I don't know. I know that's a little deep, but it's a layered kind of observation on my end, because that's what I'm seeing, man. Like, we're kind of a mentally weak team. So let's grow up. Let's that's a challenge too. But thank you guys. You guys are awesome.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. I'll take that. I think that he's dead on there. I mean, what have we said about De'Aaron's leadership? You know, obviously Mike Brown has wanted more from leadership in general, but what have we said about the kind of leader De'Aaron is? He's not a rah-rah. What kind of leader is he? He's a lead by example guy. Well, think about the example that he's setting, and to Bobby's point, if that's what you want your team to follow, you're getting exactly what you're asking for. And, you know, I'm going to quote one of the only movies I've ever seen, Remember the Titans.
Yeah.
Attitude reflect leadership, yeah, captain.
Right.
And I think it's a bit of that. Like,
great
it's,
pull.
It's, hey, man, I don't have many, but I'm gonna pull the ones that I can. And I think that's a great point that, I mean, yeah, De'Aaron has really struggled. You know, forget all this off-the-court stuff that seems to have stemmed from the New Orleans game after the New Orleans game. Let's not forget that the New Orleans game was a 50-point blowout. Like, this thing has been going on for a while, and De'Aaron's struggles have been going on for a while. Looking at his numbers, I think Biederman pointed it out the other day. December, he was averaging 29.3 points on 47% from the field and 43% from three. In January, which is 11 games now, which is a decent sample size, 21 points per game, 41% from the field, 35%. And so he's – whatever's happening, it's affecting the on the court. And I think, I mean, it's everybody deals with stuff throughout the regular season. Again, look what Golden State's going through right now. Of course, that's an extreme example, but everybody has to deal with off the court stuff throughout the regular season. So yeah, if something is going on off the court, I mean, I really hate to be the guy to say, hey, man, suck it up. Everybody goes through stuff. But I mean, at the same time, yeah, man, everybody goes through stuff. And you can't let it affect your job. Like, I know it's really, really hard, but this is where I will usually never use this as an argument against a player, but it's what you get paid all that money for, is to push as much of that aside as you can and not let it affect your play.
Yeah, that is, look, and like we said, Coach Mike Brown even talked about the growth from De'Aaron Fox and how he's still a young player.
Absolutely.
And we talk so much about maturation on the court. But becoming a superstar and growing into a franchise player, you have to deal with the off-the-court stuff, too.
Totally.
And maybe it's not fair to compare him to one of the greatest players,
sure,
of all time in Steph Curry. Fine. So let's not do that. But there are other franchise players out there, right? And a lot of these franchise players are younger, so they get more of a pass. He's right in that, yeah, sweet spot to where half of us will say – He should already be figuring it out, and the other half of us will say, well, he's still kind of young, and this is the limit here. He's 26 years old. After that, I mean, he got one more year of mid-20s.
Yeah.
Okay, he's in his last year of mid-20s. After
seventh
that,
NBA season right
seventh
now.
Seventh NBA season, you said, in your opinion, arguably his third to fourth year as,
right,
the franchise guy. I would say his second year as the franchise
winner,
guy as,
right,
a winner.
Yes, yeah,
which,
yeah,
is which
I
is,
think turns you into a franchise. It's one,
yes,
thing to be face of the franchise. I thought,
right,
about this after you asked. Face of the franchise is completely different than franchise player.
LaMelo Ball is the face of the Charlotte Hornets franchise.
Yeah. Not
that
sure
means nothing, right?
Player,
that
right,
if people on LinkedIn that say I'm owner and CEO of Allen Styles Inc.
Right.
Well, what is that valued at right now? Right. It's not valued at very much. So now that they are moving into the direction of we're the Kings, we have a name, we're trying to really take this thing to the next level, De'Aaron has to take that thing to the next level as well. Not just on the court,
yeah,
but off the court as well. That's just what it comes down to. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, the asking price for DeJounte Murray. Is it too much? Is it just enough? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. The names are starting to shrivel a little bit and shrink, but a name that has remained strong and remained true, DeJounte Murray, connected to every team in the National Basketball Association,
yes,
two first-round picks, and a starting level player. Chris Watkins, you are in on that?
Yeah, I like it. I like it. I think, DeJounte, if I just think about, if you're just taking one starter, and by one starter, we know it's either Kevin Huerter or Harrison Barnes. And you're throwing in two first-round picks. Mm-hmm. I think it's worth it for a guy like DeJounte. Again, if you talk about if we're going to send off two first-round picks to get Kyle Kuzma, two first-round picks or more to get Jeremy Grant, I think you're going to get as good of a player in DeJounte Murray. And I still think, though, it doesn't make sense to bring in it might not on the surface look like a lot of sense to bring in another guard. I think this team desperately needs another ball handler. It's really De'Aaron and Malik who can have the ball in their hand and that create play. A shot for themselves or others.
Yeah.
And yes, that play. And, you know, I just think you can definitely use a third. And then you have a lineup every single time that has at least two ball handlers. You can either do, you can stagger Fox and DeJounte Murray. I can't say Murray. DeJounte, or you can have Monk and DeJounte. You can have Monk and Fox. I mean, you always have at least two of those guys out there, and I think that's something that this team really needs is a dude who, so besides De'Aaron or besides Malik, that can get a bucket by themselves or, again, drive the lane and create an opening for Keegan or for HB or whoever is the remaining starter. I think you brought it up in the morning. The only thing questionable then is, well, who replaces? Let's say it is HB that they send off. Who's the guy that they fill HB's spot with,
right?
Because then it becomes Trey Lyles into the starting lineup, but then it, you know, who do you replace his Trey Lyles spot in the back? Is that how Sasha enters the rotation? Mm-hmm. And then does that solve your problem of, well, the Kings have gotten killed by length and teams like New Orleans and teams like the Clippers? Are you any closer to beating teams like that, I think, is a fair question.
And why would the Hawks want HB over Kevin Huerter?
Great question.
Right.
I don't have an answer to that question.
It's an easier swap if you just say Kevin Huerter out, DeJounte in, because I don't know why. First of all, we've said multiple times, I don't know what the Hawks are trying to accomplish.
No
right?
idea. Yeah.
But
kind of like
so
Chicago,
maybe
right?
that's why Harrison would be in play, because they don't think that they're fire sailing.
Right.
I don't know.
I think Huerter obviously makes a lot of sense because of the familiarity. I think. Maybe the problem still exists of why they shipped him off in the first place of, like, there's not really a ton of minutes for him, I guess, like Bogey, with how Bogey's been playing, and then you add Kevin. I think Bogey and Kevin have a bit of redundancy with what they're asked to do over there, so I don't know if that problem's necessarily fixed, and then you still have, you know, DeAndre Hunter, and you still have Sadiq Bey. Like, you still have a lot of guys who can maybe play that minute, so I don't know. It's not perfect. And then it becomes the question, which has to become the question for all Kings moves, is, okay, that's what the Kings can offer. But if the Lakers come down the road and say, hey, we can throw you D'Angelo Russell and two first round picks, would you? Well, I kind of think, I don't know what I think, actually. Not D'Angelo Russell's probably the worst example for me personally, but you could imagine how Atlanta might say, oh yeah, we like that piece, or feel like we can move that piece easier than we can move Harrison or Kevin Huerter.
And I know they want two firsts, because again, they have no clue what they're trying to accomplish. But I would say Harrison Barnes, a first, and Davion Mitchell, because Davion, you know, Trae Young plays no defense.
He sure doesn't.
Davion can be, I know you have two undersized guards, but they're not really going to play at the same time.
Yeah. No, I don't think it's possible.
They can't. Okay. The memes would be terrible, first of all. And shout out Zants. So I think that you would have to, Davion's your backup. Yeah. He's in a different offense now. Yep. He has shooters around him. He can get to the cup. He can distribute the basketball. Yep. He can defend.
Convince a fan base too. Like, hey, we just got a top 10 pick.
We got a top 10 pick. We got Harrison Barnes, who's going to keep these guys on the straight and narrow. You still have Capella for that P&R.
Yeah.
Get it done, Monty.
No, get it done for sure. I mean, yeah. I asked this morning, you know, the Atlanta Hawks own the Kings first round, or have the protections on the Kings first round pick this year. So maybe it could be as simple as just, hey, remove the, I mean, it seems like Atlanta's already going to get that pick. I think it's either top 14 or top 16 protected. So I don't know. I mean, we'll see how the rest of this Kings season goes, but it appears the Kings are going to give them that pick anyways. Maybe you can remove some of those protections and that does something for Atlanta. Maybe it takes off some of the asking price or something, but yeah, I think Atlanta makes a lot of sense to make a deal with. And you have the history, too. I mean, you've already made the Kevin Huerter deal, so there might be a level of connection or trust between the two front offices that's already there. When you see clearly, you know, when you have guys like Masai Ujiri out there, people are always going to be hesitant to all right, where's this guy going to try and get over on me? And, you know, clearly if there's already a history there, you probably don't have those feelings.
You know, I know I've been, I'm not getting off my no move train, but okay. I do feel like in a lot of things in life with me, maybe I made the call too soon because things are continuing to come out. This is from Woj. This is per Woj on his pod. The Hornets are willing to take on unwanted contracts at the trade deadline in exchange for draft capital. Charlotte is fully embracing a reset. This is from Evan Sedari. Charlotte is fully embracing a reset around LaMelo Ball, Brandon Miller, and Mark Williams as their foundational building blocks. I'm already seeing that the PJ, and look, I'm not even trying to put this name out here. I know how everybody feels. Right. I'm not going to move. I'm not going to speak on it. But the Suns plan to be active on the trade and buyout market to tweak their roster. This is from John Gambadoro, who is a longtime radio host for Arizona Sports.
Oh yeah, sister station.
That's right. And Miles Bridges is a legitimate target who they feel comfortable. Tough word there.
Yeah.
Giving up assets for, even as a rental for the remainder of the season. Yikes. That's kind of a yikes there.
Yeah.
A rental yikes?
Yeah, that's a, you know. And from what I understand, too, Charlotte's just out on Bridges in general. Like, they're not going to re-sign him in free agency.
Might as well.
So.
You're going to – don't. Why? Yeah,
I'm not going to touch that one. But I think that if Charlotte's in the position to take on contracts – that'll be interesting because that could be a breaking case of emergency, if you will, and that'll tell you truly how they feel about Harrison Barnes' contract. I don't think Harrison Barnes' contract is terrible. It's definitely not great. I mean, $17 million this year. I think he makes $18 and then $19 the year after. It's not ideal, but it's not like a back-breaking. You know, Tobias Harris, I think, is getting $34 million per year. It's not like it's a something that you have to move on from. So that would be interesting. And again, that would probably – I think Kevin Huerter and Harrison are really the only guys who you might consider being in that category of, hey, we're just trying to get off this contract. But even then, I don't think that they're that bad of contracts that you would attach. Because, I mean, what Charlotte's essentially saying there is give us – Harrison Barnes in a first round pick, and we'll send you PJ Washington or we'll send you whoever you want, JT Thor. I don't care.
Yeah.
We're really just in a position of we have tons of cap space. We have to hit the cap floor. And if you're willing to attach a first round pick to just give us that player, sure, you can have whatever you want.
The Hornets are really using all of LaMelo's youth to try to figure
they
this
sure
out. I mean, he's
going
to be like 27 by the time they actually possibly figure it out. 916-339-1140 on the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Let's get out to Sam, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Sam? You're on Styles and Watkins. What you got?
Hi, guys. Hey, good morning. Well, two things. Number one, if Murray cannot basically get along with the amount of minutes with the guy, I just slipped his name, the guard from Atlanta.
Trae Young.
Yeah, so I'm not sure how he will fit in with Fox here, but I'm a very firm believer that what the Kings really need is somebody to go along with DeMontis down below, replace Harrison Barnes with a stronger person that can get us 10 to 12 points a night, 8 to 10 rebounds, and take a little bit of the load off of DeMontis, and I think we'll be okay with what we have. But I'm really not looking for. I don't think Trey Murray will go along with Fox in that group. Although he's a good player, I'm just not sure if he'll fit in that that category.
No, absolutely. You're definitely right. And I'm looking at his play-by-play splits right here. And in San Antonio, he played primarily point guard. His last year in San Antonio, he played 2,300 minutes. 92% of those came at the point guard position. Very next season, he gets traded to Atlanta, 29% at the point guard position, 70% at shooting guard, 1% at small forward. And then this year, it's been 35% at point guard. So he's played less point guard than he ever has in his career in Atlanta. And, you know, to Sam's point, it's probably not a coincidence that, I mean, they feel like it just has not worked there. So it's a very, very fair question. And I also do agree the bigger need, and I mean, the names that we've been seeing the Kings link to are definitely more of those Kuzmas, the Jeremy Grants, the forwards that Sam's talking about there. But I still do think, again, there is a need for another primary ball handler, and I think this would be going out of their way to address it. I don't know if it's their biggest need, probably, to Sam's point, but it's still a need nonetheless that would make the team better. I think everybody's question and what Sam's kind of presenting there is, but it makes you better, but is that the move that makes you the absolute bet? Like, if you're trying to win a championship, mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the first thing. If I'm making a list of the things that the Kings need to solve, I don't know if another playmaker is necessarily top two or three on the list.
No, honestly, I think it, and you know me, I go too deep with this stuff. I think it honestly, I know he passes the ball way more, but it might be too similar to a Halliburton situation.
No, absolutely.
Right? Absolutely. If you were in the camp of thinking that that wouldn't work, why would you think that this would work? And I don't think that trades are the same as drafts, to where it's get the best player available. No, because you need to make this work. You don't have time.
You're giving up assets
to figure it out. You're in the middle of a season. All right, got to get to a break. Going to take a quick break from Kings Talk to talk some Niners. I will give you a breakdown of what a quarterback coach said about Brock Purdy, and I didn't think there was any issues with it, but of course, Niners fans thought it wasn't enough. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.